You guys want to get started quickly and jump right in
Yeah.
and
How about
get
you,
things started?
Alex? You
Yeah,
good,
I'm ready.
Alex?
I'm ready.
All right. So, oh shit, 5 minute mark. That's awesome. All right, good. All right. So, welcome to the vodcast. This is where we talk about everything The Mandalorian every week. Give you the recap breakdown, and I'm your host, Jay. Decepticon, Deception, whatever you want, and I'm here joined by you guys are.
Alex Garcia Sparrow Fett.
You didn't know who I am? No, I'm kidding. I'm Buddha, also known as Buddha Fett.
Mister, no
And
need introductions.
no
Yeah,
need
right? What
for
the fuck?
interruptions. I'm gonna say
So,
Alejandro for now because I need the guitar strum. We're gonna get a guitar strum, Alejandro. Put it in.
dude, when we get a bigger budget and I actually know how to like do this shit, I'll definitely add some theme music when we get some
Yeah,
intros.
Laurel's looking at
Oh,
some stuff too.
so like yeah, like Buddha's paint setting setting the bar on where to go from here. This will definitely be a good first episode for us to improve upon, which exciting shit.
Absolutely.
All right, so we're at the season two premiere, technically chapter nine. And this is called The Marshal, directed by Jon Favreau. And the summary
So, are we
goes:
putting spoilers?
Chapter nine finds the Mandalorian.
Quickly. There are spoilers
Yeah.
here. So, everyone, we are not
Yes, there are.
spoiling
Yeah, you
Meet
have to
the
say
Wookiee
that.
fan club
You have to say
at
that.
6 o'clock in the morning and
Yeah.
posting Boba Fett's helmet for everyone to see this morning. So,
This isn't going to be a 30, 45 minute audio with zero spoilers. So
thank
you've
you,
been
Jay.
warned.
Sorry for interrupting you. Back to what you're doing.
There we go. No, we need that. We need that. Now that's noted. So anyway, the summary reads: Chapter 9 finds the Mandalorian in superb form as Mando's quest takes him to Tatooine. Where else? And introduce some new and old faces. I put where else there. All right. So the episode starts off with a recap of the first season, which is nothing too crazy. It's the same recap that they showed all weekend. You guys watched that,
Right.
right? Yeah. All right. So it was a quick recap. It was like what, 90 seconds? To remind you what last season went. So after that's done, we get the title. So we see the Mando and the child walking through the hood. Well, what it would look like in the Star Wars universe anyway. We get abandoned buildings with graffiti. We get those glowy red eyes from the shadows. Really drives home the fact that it's not safe out there and you shouldn't be out
Any
there.
city in
So
California.
this is the scene of definitely not. Yeah, so he gets in the club, and instead of getting the info from his contact, he gets double crossed and tries to get stuck up for his Beskar. Now, after some whistling birds and an homage to the season one intros, he wrangles up the informant and ties him to a lamppost. He learns there's a Mandalorian on Tatooine, and after some skepticism, he believes him and walks away. But not before he shoots the light and leaves the informant alone with the mysterious red eyes starting to circle at him. So, what do you guys think about this opening scene for Chapter 9?
Well, the Gamorreans was like, kind of watching like MMA. So, and the way it was set up, it kind of looked like an MMA type fight. And then, I think it's kind of a sonnet to post Star Wars, post Empire type life because everybody's being run by gangsters now. And this is how it comes. Everything's gambling. Everything is, chance, of course, just like in Star Wars, you constantly have that element of let's make a bet, and then of course folks paying and for information or folks that have information, and then the double cross is also part of Star Wars. So it's a good nice little thing. I mean, they could have probably done a little better. I mean, that was kind of a weak gangster. Then of course we are spoiled.
Yeah, I mean, well, the thing that got me were the Gamorrean guards. It was just weird seeing human legs. I don't know if they just didn't have
The
the
budget,
feather
right?
Pampers or whatever they wear. So I mean, I don't know. That just caught my attention as they were fighting, and I don't know. It didn't come across as intense as an axe fight should probably be, but I don't know. Maybe I was just looking too much into it.
I mean,
What'd you think, Buddha?
so let's talk about first. I didn't mind the scene. I thought it was pretty cool. It just, it's very Star Wars-y, very, back room kind of deal. I felt like Michael Vick should have been in the room somewhere. But, one
Ooh.
thing that did throw me off was the Gamorrean guards did look awkward. They looked like humans wearing pig masks. I will say that, but
Right,
The
exactly.
campiness of the scene and the costumes was definitely a throwback, right? I just love the practical effects and the campiness, and how he just strung
Right.
them up and shot the light out. So
Yeah.
it felt.
Yeah, he gave him the whole, you won't die by my hands, and you're like, all right, what's,
Yeah,
you
I mean,
know, he's definitely gonna set him up for something where he doesn't kill him
it
directly,
wasn't a
but
memorable scene, right? But not something that upset me or made me go, ugh, right? It didn't ruin the episode. I love the campiness of it, right? I just love the actual masks that the characters were wearing and the fight scene. And I thought it was really cute. I got a little chuckle when the child realized what was happening and like blows his carriage. I was like, oh, I'm out. That was adorable.
you know, shit's about to go down. Let me close the covers real
That
quick.
was cute.
All right. So after that, we get the opening title. So we're back on Tatooine, and as soon as he lands, we get Amy Sedaris, is it? So her character makes a return, and she was a welcome sight. I didn't really care for her the first time, but seeing her in season two, I was like, oh, all right, so we're getting recurring characters. And I guess it connected since I was kind of, you know, felt nice seeing her as soon as he lands there. So, you know, after some light banter between them two and, you know, her wanting to keep the child, making some jokes, we get the first one of the first callbacks, then we get the return of R5. What was that like for you guys seeing him?
I like that. I definitely did like that. I mean, I was pointing that out to my wife when we were watching it. And it's like, you see that where his motivator was repaired, and you can see the spot where he actually broke up, you know, in the original scene. Now, obviously, they could have made him a little dirtier, but you could tell, obviously, you know, that was a
Was definitely R5D4, right?
right. And
Yeah.
then
No force.
now for Amy Sedaris. Now here's somebody. Now, obviously, I remember Amy Sedaris from, you know, Strangers with Candy. For me, again, there goes my pet peeve. I don't want to recognize people in Star Wars. I want them to just barely, you know, if they're not going to fit. Like for I hear Amy Sedaris, I hear that voice. I hear also she's in BoJack Horseman, so you hear Mr. Princess, the character that she plays. So she has a very easy voice to pick out. And obviously, she's made to look kind of Star Warsy. Actually, they make her look ridiculously horrible, which is good that at least they make her look kind of ugly. Don't tell Amy I said that, but you know. But
She's
you know,
listening.
yes, I do agree with you, Jake, because it a little familiarity. It was a good relationship. You need the Mando obviously needs somebody he can trust too. So that's something. And it's nice because you want him to trust somebody. You have to have that obviously in the story arc.
Right, and it shows as soon as she grabs the child, right? Like, you know, normally if somebody grabs a child, he has his guns drawn. But you know, she carried him, and he seemed fine with it, so that's always good. She gives him the old speeder bike from the first season, and on his way to Mos Pelgo, we see Mando during a cutscene just hanging out with some random Tusken Raiders. And I questioned that at first, but I guess we'll get to that later, right? Get a nice little explanation on what that's all about. So once we get to Mos Pelgo, there's another cameo by a Weequay. We got a Weequay bartender out there, so that's another familiar face. Always good to see. And that was from the photo revealed last week, so people may have seen that before the episode. And he gets right to the point. He asks about a Mandalorian there, and he says, "Hey, there's one right behind you."
Obviously, if you're going to take it, Timothy Oliphant, just make him the marshal. Obviously, he was a U.S. marshal in Justified, and you know he was a quick draw. It looks like it was going to be a draw, like a standoff, like get out there, kind of like a High Noon type thing. Maybe have the shots each of them shoot off the armor, like, ooh, look, I met my match, you know, as far as like a quick draw thing, but or at least lead up to that part. But of course, you know. We're not here to make a new story. Obviously, the way it looks like we have these cameos, we really don't have these developing characters, though I'd love to see him again. You know, we're not here to, it's not the Timothy Oliphant show, it's not the Marshall show, it's the Mando.
So the armor and so let's start. Okay, I know we're probably gonna talk about it later. Let's get out, the elephant out of the room. The helmet, trash. right? Just you would think for season two, a close-up of what looks like, obviously, with some of the paint decal that's still remaining on the helmet, a Return of the Jedi Fett helmet, right? Just obviously just it looks like it was thrown together in the day. The armor looked like it was like just ripped off the old Don Post statue, right? All that silver exposed.
I definitely got that Don Post vibe from it.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, the whole getup looked like Don Post. Like, hey, this was a Don Post statue that was in the Lucas, you know, atrium. You know, like, you know, when they post those pictures before they replaced it with a sideshow one. So, oh man, we have this, you know, Boba Fett Don Post statue. You know what? Really bad paint job. Let's throw it into the Mandalorian season two. So that's what I felt. But I mean, it was cool to see, right? Obviously, we're all fanboys here of the Boba. So, you know, this morning I did get a little excited seeing it.
So anyway, so as soon as he comes in after getting some drinks, then pretty much says he's not leaving without the armor. He needs it. And what's his name? Cobb Vanth. He knows that only one of them is going to make it out alive. So he's ready to have a shootout in there. He knows, you know, like somebody's dying. So after some tension and a stare off, some commotion leads them outside where they see a creature moving under the sand. All right. So as soon as that happens, Cobb quickly offers up a new deal. If the Mando can keep the armor, the Mando can keep the armor if he helps kill the crate. And the Mando agrees and they set off on speeders. And this was a nice scene because as they show him riding through the Dune Sea, Cobb pulls up in a throwback to Anakin's speeder or his pod racer in The Phantom Menace. What'd you guys think?
Oh, it definitely was. It definitely was, you know, what I would think it was part of the original speeder from Anakin. And it's definitely, that was definitely cool to see. And hearing it was pretty cool. So I was pretty impressed with that. Now, the whole standoff, I think I would have liked to have seen a little bit of fighting, maybe not like a standoff, like a draw type thing, or maybe if they would have gotten on the street, that would have been a little cooler, mm-hmm. but just to kind of sit there in the bar.
Right. A little bit more. Like they should have had what is it at the High Noon at the OK Corral outside?
Yeah. That's where I kind of said, you know, if you're going to bring in Timothy Oliphant a la Marshall, a la U.S. Marshall, because that's basically what I was in Justified, you know, go ahead and go ahead and do that quick draw thing. Cause that was his thing. He was a quick draw. So go ahead and try that, you know, maybe have both of them kind of, you know, the shots go off their armor or something. That scene could have been a little better. I think it could have been a little bit more Western-y.
You're going to love my pronunciation of things here, folks. Okay, so do you know what Disney film that originally was made for?
I actually do not know. I thought it was a Star Wars original all these years.
It's not. It was built for the 1975 Disney comedy, One of Our Dinosaurs is Missing. And it was left in the desert after filming was completed, and that's where you see it being picked up in A New Hope. So it's funny, made by Disney,
right,
filmed in Star Wars, and then purchased by Disney to be brought into The Mandalorian.
Full circle.
Wow. Like poetry.
That scene was okay. I liked it. You know, nothing to go home or write home about. I like how they were interrupted by the dragon. I think my pet peeves about just the Clone Wars and these live actions in general is the towns feel small or empty almost, right? Even in the first scene in the alleyway, there was no one there, right? Except, you know,
right.
Mando and the child. And even this town felt a little weird, right? Just everyone looked so young too.
I remember thinking when he rode in on the speeder, I was like, this definitely screams like TV show set, right? Like,
yeah,
like they're just there, right? Like nothing in the back, nothing to fill in. It's just like, all right, here's the set with like four buildings on each side, you know, just go through it real slow. We'll make it seem like a whole long town. And that kind of jumped out at me too. I get what you're saying. So once they head off into the Dune Sea, that's where we get the Cobb Vanth backstory and flashbacks. We get the flashback to his story, And he pretty much brings us up to speed. They show the destruction of the Death Star in a bar. And then he says, as soon as that happened, I guess the coal miners decided to run the town. They started shooting up the bar, and he was able to escape with the Weequay bartender. And I guess he grabbed an ice cream maker because that was the only thing there, naturally. And that's when he decided to walk a few days into the desert. No water, no food, and just an ice cream maker. I guess he didn't think to open the ice cream maker, see what was inside. But I don't know. You guys read the Aftermath books? Like, you know anything about them? Or
no, I'm not. I'm not sure about those. You know, and that's another thing too, is that maybe, you know, don't, or maybe they, maybe that was kind of like a nod to, you know, the extended universe. And unfortunately, I'm not an extended universe guy. I didn't read the books, and maybe that had a little something to do with it. So I think the story was, you know, just, I think it was just enough to just fill in those whatever 2 minutes or 3 minutes of that flash back to be able to, you know, hey, how did you get this armor? I think there's a theory going around, like maybe he's lying about how he got the armor too. And maybe that's just him, you know, making himself kind of look better. Maybe he just kind of stumbled upon it, you know. I don't know how it could look better or anything like that, or how he got that done. But to be honest, I'm not sure if that was the story, then great. Right. I think they could have done a little better, but maybe it is, you know, just a little something to regale.
Yeah. Maybe there's something to that. I mean, yeah, I did think when he was telling the story, I was like, he's a little too on the good guy with it. And I was like, now is he this one dimensional, or, you know, are they playing the long game with him? And we're going to learn some things later.
Once again, I know, you know, the one scene of him walking in the Tatooine desert by himself, a little cringy on the acting. But, that's, you know, I, honestly, it's exactly what I would expect from the episode. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Yeah. So after they cross the Dune Sea, they run into some Tusken Raiders and their dogs. And, of course, Timothy, I guess, he's been warding them off from the town. He's been protecting that town from them, from scavenging their water or whatever he says. So he's testy whenever he sees them. And then all of a sudden, just when you think it's about to go down, our boy Mando starts making some sounds.
So now, okay, so they went back to just doing sign language before, right?
Right.
So in the first season, he was speaking sign language. So now he's actually speaking Tuscan. So, it's a nice little addition.
You learn something along the way.
Did they have to do a little? Yeah, did they have to do it? Yeah, I don't know. I don't think they had to go into that much detail, but I guess it gives the Mando another wrinkle. You know, right. He's polished or something. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as having that.
I thought it was cute with the dog, right? I feel like, you know, if maybe Mando didn't have the child, he would have a dog or the equivalent of a dog in space. So I thought that was cute how he was petting it and, you know, making those sounds. I got a good chuckle out of that. Now, the one thing I will say, and obviously we could discuss this a little more in depth as we continue the discussion here, but does this episode make anyone feel bad for not just Anakin, but for the Tuskens that took his mother?
No.
Why?
I don't know. Vader. That's just something. It's just we gotta think about what made Vader. Well, it was Anakin. But then,
right. That anger. But I'm not talking about. I understand what Anakin did, but I feel bad for the Tuskens. Right, because obviously they feel they were there first, right? As they discuss in the Gunslinger, and these people are, you know, the invaders or the intruders, perhaps, as you say. And as this episode goes on, you see that the Tusken Raiders aren't just brutal animals, right? Yeah. You see that there is that cooperation and that, you know, humanity with them, right? And they're just a different type of culture. And you wonder if maybe it wasn't the Tusken Raiders that drove Anakin to do what he did. Was it someone on Tatooine? who broke a truce or just, you know, of that nature? Was it, you know, the Lars who intruded on the Tusken Raiders and, you know, Smee dying was just payback? You know, just watching it so far, it doesn't seem like the Tuskens would be the type of people or, you know, culture to take prisoners like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I mean, in Attack of the Clones, they were definitely the aggressors, right? I mean, from Lars' point of view, let's say that.
Oh.
You know, the kid, I mean, she was tied up, so, I mean, I don't know.
Maybe the truth we cling to.
Yeah.
Depending on a certain point
of view. I don't know. We'll need a one-shot comic explaining the backstory on that, I guess.
Oh, God. The Rose.
You know that's coming. No. So anyway, so after they become friends, I guess they both decide, well, the Tuskens tell them, like, hey, we're headed out to kill the creature too. So, I mean, you know, they were both headed to the creature's cave, so they decided to go together. Turns out the creature's cave was an abandoned Sarlacc pit. And apparently the Tuskens have been monitoring the thing for generations, and they know their digestion cycles, I guess you can say. So I guess that shows a lot more intelligence on the Tusken race, doesn't it? Like you were saying?
I'm telling you.
I think so.
I mean, they were studying this thing for generations, they said. So, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, that could have been their one source of food. I mean, for a while, maybe if you think about it. So if you think about it back here, like in our world, you know, some animals were introduced to different parts of the continents, and then you started having that. Maybe banthas were there, weren't there from earlier or whatever, and then they had to, you know, that just in theory, maybe they had to survive off of the crate dragons until they got, you know, some sort of banthas, you know, brought over. So I think that's pretty cool. Like I said, I think they just needed a good big protagonist. I think they added a little bit of, you know, obviously it was very well done, good special effects, those kinds of things, good just a good battle. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you need sometimes in these episodes. You need something that's not gonna go down easy, right? Like, for instance, I mean, one good place shot and you got AT-ST to go down in what was it, the sanctuary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
come to mama.
And then now you got this. I mean, this was basically that episode stretched out a little bit. And that's what you should have had in that sanctuary episode. A little bit more, you know, harder, you know, a little bit more, you know, death or destruction, or, you know, just, you know, it's not dead yet.
Right.
And I think that was pretty good. I think adding the whole flavor to it, as far as, you know, why maybe they just needed a reason that somebody wrote it in that, yeah, they've been wanting to kill this thing for a while. They've studied it, and they're going to have the carcass. Mm. They want the carcass. Well, basically, it looks like a big chunk of meat.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had snake meat? It's pretty good. It tastes like fish and chicken at the same time.
Two for one. That's always good.
Yeah.
So anyway, so they bring back the townspeople, and their plan is to draw out the creature so they can set up explosives. They actually try to lure it out, and after some harpooning and stuff being thrown at the crate, looks like the plan's actually working, and they're able to detonate the bomb underneath it. Unfortunately, it didn't work out too well, as the crate pops on top of the mountain and starts spitting acid all around people, like he was reptile.
I kind of liked it.
Yeah. Mortal Kombat for you?
I have a problem with
it. Yeah? What'd you think? A little too much?
No, I mean, okay, so it is literally disintegrating Tusken Raiders and, like, the village people, right? And when the Mandal flies into it, which is something right out of, like, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, the intro, and, you know, explodes himself inside, he comes out undamaged, which is fine. Obviously, the hero's not going to die.
Right.
But, like, his cape, right?
Right, right, you know,
the soft goods, nothing's burning. You don't want to, you know, just pat yourself down real quick. I was like, this acid is on you. I see it on your helmet.
Yeah,
right? Yeah. And it's like, okay, whatever. Yeah. But it's funny. I liked when you talk about jetpacks, and obviously that damage is the, you know, Return of the Jedi damaged jetpack that we see him, you know, wearing, Boba Fett wearing in the sail barge, right? Mm-hmm. And when the Marshal gave the you know, jetpack back to Mando. He was like, you know, tell your people I didn't do that, right? I thought I got a good chuckle out of that.
I got that. That was good too. I agree. Well, I mean, I think that was the best part. In my opinion, that was the best part, seeing that it was repaired.
Right.
I mean, the helmet they fell short on, the armor just didn't look right. And then, you know, those tubes were like nice and clean. Like, did he just replace the tubes?
Well, I was definitely surprised they kept that detail of the back of the jetpack damaged, and they put that, you know, they put the plate repair over it. I was like, for them, you know, like you said, kind of taking shortcuts on the rest of the armor. You know, that was good to see that at least, you know, the jetpack, they at least put some more thought in, which was nice to see. And actually, what do you think of the flying around in the jetpacks? Much better than when Death Watch was doing it?
30 seconds, maybe.
They just landed.
All total, yeah, right? I liked it. I thought it was pretty cool. I didn't like how Marshall was so good at it, right? You know, when Mando got his jetpack, he was like, from the armor, she was like, have you trained in the way of the Phoenix? Like, it was something freaking serious, like what he did as a kid. Yeah. And now this guy is just flying on it like he's an expert. Obviously, he probably practiced, right?
Right, right.
But come on. Like,
I did get the Clone Wars cartoon vibe. I don't know, it's just the way people in Star Wars fly with jetpacks on, but I don't know.
Anytime you have Dave Filoni involved in any project, there's going to be aspects that feel Star Wars Clones Warsy.
Right, right. It's like live action Clone Wars. Just the way they were flying, the way they were, you know, landing with the slide. Like, I feel like I just seen all that, you know, during the Siege of Mandalore arc in Clone Wars.
Yeah,
right? Like,
exactly. And you know what? And if this is not a filler episode of the Clone Wars, it's going to be good. Right. If it's not, like, 95% of the Clone Wars animated show, it's going to suck. Sorry, y'all. Like, the Clone Wars is terrible. Get over it. Don't at me. Don't slide into my DMs telling me the Clone Wars is good. It sucks. So, let's make a couple assumptions on Boba Fett. If that is Boba Fett, right, he must have known that the armor was on the planet, that the Marshal was wearing it, because people off-world knew that there was an individual wearing Mandalorian armor on Tatooine. So we obviously know the armor was going to draw him out. So does he have memory loss, right? Does he know who he is? Those are serious questions that have to be explored, right? Those are EU stories, right? So obviously the Mandalorian had to be the reason why he came out to go to that area where the Tusken Raiders were with the village people to see, you know, the Mandalorian fly by on the speeder bike. So that was interesting. It, you know, the whole episode, you know, from start to finish overall was a decently strong episode. It's definitely not in my top three. It's definitely not in my bottom three. I would put it right in the middle, but just seeing the Boba Fett helmet, the armor, even though how bad it was, seeing Boba Fett and the Twin Sons was a great throwback. It's going to be exciting going into next week for episode 2, for sure.
Yeah. And I like how they got, they got his cameo out early, right? Like, you know, every week, if they would have never shown him, like, all the conversations would just be, he's coming, he's coming. Whereas now, at least we saw him, and it was a perfect, you know, perfect taste. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see where they go from here because, you know, He found the armor, and if he's still looking for Mandalorians, like, who's he going to look for next? Bean? Right? Isn't that what the mission was, to find other Mandalorians? And all he did was just find armor. So, I mean, like, where does he...
Well, we have a couple episodes, right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't end now.
All right.
I'm going to be disappointed if he doesn't look for other Mandos now. Like, that was just the episode I guess really there aren't any other Mandos.
No, he's 100% looking for the Mandalorians, for sure.
So we got, obviously, this is episode 1 of, what, 8 episodes?
Yep.
Jay?
All right.
So I'm interested, to be honest, and this is my lead into the next episode, I'm interested in what else is going to happen. Obviously, I want to see Cara Dune. I want to see... the new Jedi, whatever that Jedi character, if it is a Jedi character with Sasha Banks, we have some people coming in. Like, say, we got Michael Biehn that's supposed to be coming in.
All right, right.
And he's our aliens guy. He's also our Tombstone guy. He's, you know, Another guy, hopefully they dress him up really well, though. Again, I got to see how this looks. Like I said, I don't want real recognizable characters in Star Wars if they're going to be dressed up a little better.
But we got Bill Burr and his crew coming back, right? They're coming back to...
Oh, God, I hope not.
Watch your mouth on Bill Burr. Bill
Burr. Yeah, pretty sure. So, I mean,
Bill Burr, Jesus.
So, I mean, this episode was good because it starts off, you know, I need to find a Mando. And all he does is find Boba Fett's armor. So, I mean, I guess next episode they'll have to, you know, start off again with what he's going to do that episode. And there's still Moff Gideon, I'm sure, looking for him. So,
yeah, everything will circle back to Tatooine, I'm sure.
Yeah,
there's a ton of Mando still. Ton of story, ton of everything.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's going to be – we might be like, why would they put the best episode at the beginning? They're only going to put – you know, the stuff that is going to lead into the next stuff.
Right. Well, I mean, the 45-minute episode runtime didn't hurt. I mean, I kind of like this, but I'm not sure.
Definitely.
If it follows standard Imperial procedures, we'll have like 2 episodes of him looking for Mandos, right? And then we'll have some filler bullshit, and then we'll find Mandos. We'll have some Death Watch battles. We'll see some dark saber, and it'll all accumulate in the last 2 episodes of Moff Gideon, Death Watch, Sabine, the Jedi. What's going to happen with baby, you know, the baby, the child, right? And if the theory of time travel, or him going in with the Force and ending up at the height of the Old Republic, whatever, right? We'll have 3 episodes of this looking, a couple filler episodes, 1 or 2. You know, Dave Filoni loves filler episodes, and then we'll have the last 3 episodes really, you know, driving that story and the anticipation, because that's what we got in season 1.
What does Filoni have? The 5th episode, 5th or 6th? So he's definitely in that filler territory.
100%. That 5th or 6th episode is going to be the weakest of the season. You could literally take that to the bank. This is not a gambling podcast. But
well, that's on tape now, so I'm sure somebody will remember that.
If you want to know which story is going to be the filler story for this season, it's the one Dave Filoni directs. I love Dave Filoni from season 1. His Clone Wars stuff is boring. A lot of filler. Don't at me.
Mm.
Yes. That's what we need. We need controversy. We need people to be we need to say stuff like that that's controversial.
Well, you want the controversy.
The hot takes.
The minute we have those twins back from the Coruscant on the Mandalorian. Cancel the show. Right, I don't care
like
if we. I don't care if we haven't seen Boba yet. Right?
So chapter two, episode 2, the Martez sisters is the final episode.
Cancel it. Fuck.
So guys, by that token, think about it. If the rumors are true that we're supposed to see Ahsoka in the Mandalorian,
we will. And you think the dark saber is going to be the only lightsaber we see here? No. Yeah. There's going to be a lightsaber battle, right? Someone's going to say, you know, all this bullshit. Moff Gideon's going to obviously kick the bucket, right? Yeah. That is just reality. But
weren't the two sabers on a Filoni coin again this year or something? Or a Favreau coin? I think it was like the dark saber and one of Ahsoka's, I think. Yeah.
Of course. Of course. Don't even be going on Ahsoka. I love the character, but she should have fucking died in Rebels against Vader. And that perfect death. Once again, don't at me.
I think after the season, we can do character specific episodes after the season. I mean, we'll have what, like 40, 44, 45 weeks.
I'm not trying to hate on Ahsoka. I'm just saying.
It needs to be discussed.
Original death was perfect.
Yeah.
Right. And now she's gonna show up in The Mandalorian as live action, which is fine, great. You know, it's gonna fulfill some fanboy fantasies out there. I know it. I'm sure we're gonna get some really weird fan art between her and the Mando.
Oh, if that isn't already on Tumblr.
100%. The crazy fanboys drove that love interest between Rey and Ben and made them kiss, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was all because of their weird shit on Tumblr and Twitter. Right, make no mistake. So hopefully that doesn't happen again. But we'll see some lightsaber battles. We'll see some filler episodes. I'm sure we'll see some people disappointed. Hopefully not us, but with the Boba Fett. Hopefully we get some better, you know, digs soon.
Ugh. Yeah, I'm sure we get some new armor soon. But
You know they're gonna sell action figures. You know we're gonna get a Marshall, and we're all gonna buy it because we're bitches.
I get the Marshall.
Cobb Vanth. It's a good name.
That's very
it is a good character. It's an
space western name.
It's an instant favorite. I think, like I said, they could have just did it a little bit more Dirty Harry. Like I said, it's Timothy Oliphant again. You know, go back to all his stuff. He's very Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like those guys that just, you know, you're gonna recognize him.
I mean, I know Buddha mentioned his walking in the desert, but when he ran out that bar too, I don't know if that had me laughing. I don't know.
Yeah, can we just talk about that real quick? I know we're at the end of the episode.
Yeah, we got a few minutes.
These people came in like, oh, they were slavers and stuff like that. Bro, they were drinking at the bar. We see them going to the bar, shooting up. Yep. We see them come back, and they're all having their feet are up.
Yeah, that was...
They ain't slaving no one. They're drinking at the bar. Weird. Weird. Yeah. So that's why I think his flashback story might be a little off.
Yeah, I think there's definitely something there, right? Because if they leave it as is, that's pretty cut and dry. And, you know, like Alejandro said, it's not their story, but...
Well, that's what we talk about.
And to, you know, to that... of the town and the characters. I agree. So there you have it, the season 2 premiere, our first episode, and that was fun. We should do this again.
Well, obviously, yeah. Anyone out there listening, you know, suggestions, comments, let us know how we can make it better, make it different for anything else you listen to, have a little more fun, let us know.
Yeah
How to make Buddha sound better.
I have a face for radio. A voice for radio. Maybe not, probably not.
Got the hands for radio.
I do. My hands are going crazy over here.
Well, maybe next week we'll all have little Baby Yoda's guest appearing on the show.
My baby arrives on Thursday. Jay, we'll have to do a live unboxing.
I'm in.
Oh, I got to do that.
I'm in. You getting yours too?
No. I don't have one. I don't have one.
You
coming,
better be at Buddha's house.
How do you not?
Buddha's. I'm going
time,
to Buddha's
time
house.
Time out. Alex, time out. Time out. You did not order a Baby Yoda.
No, I did child. Not, sir.
Why not? I need to hear this. Jay, you have one coming, right?
Absolutely.
I'm not into
Absolutely.
Toys and figures, bro. I'm more
it's not
into
a
props.
Toy. It's a statue, and it's beautiful. It's a prop.
It's a high end.
It
it's high end. You can't say you collect Master Replica stuff and not have the child come.
This is a prop and a statue. It's from the same mold.
Master
as
Replicas
prop.
Didn't do. Master Replicas didn't do. Like statues and
yeah, they did.
Toys.
I have one sitting in my glass cabinet. I have a Kermit the Frog photo.
That's
puppet.
A prop.
So
what
is the
this?
Difference between the prop of Kermit and
that's
the, this and
that's
the child?
A toy. That's a statue.
No, it's not.
Boy.
So okay, hold on. Where does the mold come from?
It comes if it comes from the studio mold. But the thing is it
which
is it rubber?
Which is no, the statue is not rubber. But it comes from the same mold, therefore it's a replica of the prop used on screen.
I'll withhold judgment, but right now I'm saying it's a toy. Maybe
it's
at the
toy.
Unboxing.
Yeah, it's gonna be an unboxing and
here,
selling.
Look, I'm trying to come to your I'm trying to come over to your side.
You need to come
I
over,
did buy
we'll unbox it together then.
There you
I
go,
did,
I'm live.
You know, Jay is my pusher. You know, Jay's my pusher. You know, I go over there and say, hey man, what you got?
Yeah, I got what you need. I got what you need.
But for $375 for a life-size the child that comes off the base with the removable like,
all right,
knob
maybe all right, if it comes
swivel,
off the base and it looks like it, if it really is that cute, I might have to buy it.
There we go.
Check
it. We'll find.
Listen,
we'll find
every C-list celebrity has gotten theirs already.
Yeah, that's true.
Celebrity. So this is like really. This is like
must have.
Like even celebrities
this must
got
have.
It. I want to know. I want to know a celebrity outside of Star Wars. That has purchased the Baby Yoda, like a
no, listen,
like a
none
maybe
of them purchased it.
A Jenner no, or
none of them have purchased it.
A Kardashian, maybe a sports star. You know,
Zach Braff got it.
Does Gronk have a child?
No, but Zach Braff got one.
Ah, yeah.
There you go.
I don't think he's been in Star Wars. He's done any voices? I know Donald Faison. I'm pronouncing the last name wrong. I know he did a
no,
voice.
I'm talking about. I'm talking a little bit more mainstreamy type like person that's not involved with Star Wars. That is like an A-lister that's got that. I want that to be like the convincing thing is that Baby Yoda or the child is so cute that even this A-lister bought it.
Like whoever's on the top 10 the first 10 pages of TMZ. You need one of those people to have.
Yeah, something like that. It's a TMZ somebody. It's yeah, right? Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
All right, they, I get what you're saying.
They've been in the they've been on People. You know, they've been in a movie lately. Like I see, okay, let's see if say here's a good guess. Any of the Marvel Universe people. Like, how about Chris Evans? How about Chris Pratt? Does
no one likes Chris Pratt?
Yeah, Chris Pratt. I love Chris think Chris Pratt. Pratt's getting any free Baby Yodas anytime soon.
Yeah, not
right now. He may buy one.
He could get his Baby Yoda.
Does Josh Brolin have a Baby Yoda? Robert Downey Jr. Right. Does he have?
All right, so we'll find out. We're going live when Buddha gets his. All right, and we're gonna see if you change your tune. How about that?
Yeah. Anything else?
No, that's it. Tune in Thursday for the live unboxing of the child with Buddha and Alejandro.
Yeah, you get to see our faces.
Yeah, and I mean, really this will probably be up within the next day or two. So by the time you're listening to this, it'll probably be on your Monday morning commute. So we hope to join you, or you know, leave that feedback. Let us know.
Yeah, let us know. Hit us up in DM. Slide into those bad boys, and yeah.
Alejandro, anything? Any last words for the listeners?
Everybody, stay frosty and get their frosties.
Stay frosty.
I know that's horrible. It just hey, I was
no,
looking
no,
at
nowhere
this,
to go but up after that.
Yeah,
catchphrase.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, so that's funny because you know I was just looking at this frosty thing that you were sending me about the Isaiah Thomas, and it just I was just like I you know the guy had a good point.
He just
like,
wanted his frosty.
He wanted his frosty. Like,
fuck you.
Yeah, bring me a milkshake Thursday.
Oh shit, I will. Brewsters, you like Brewsters?
Where's Brewsters? I have not been to Brewsters.
Well, we can't plug that. What? We can't plug them on the air. They don't pay.
Ah, okay. So it's going to have to be Wendy's.
Don't bring me fucking Wendy's. Bring me Brewsters. I want Brewsters now.
Okay.
Brewsters is. All right. See you guys Thursday.
See you Thursday.